Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so blessed today to be alive, to be able to give God the glory, to give him the honor that is so due his name. God is good. Welcome to They Overcame. We're here for that very reason, to give God praise, to give God honor, and to give him glory for all of the things that he's done for us. And I'm just happy. I'm just happy, happy, happy. I love that new song that came out. I don't know who the artist is. Some guy looks like a Dudley Do-Right kind of hat. Honey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I can't recall the name. He's a gospel artist that did part of the soundtrack for one of the animated movies, but it has gotten a lot of airtime because it's such a positive, joyous song. And, yeah, just happy, and, of course, we can just add a little bit to that, happy in Jesus, because there's, well, another song that said, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. So how can we not just be happy? I'm just thanking God, and the song was going through my mind as you were speaking that how good I just feel as well. This morning, just kind of feel some extra energy, extra joy, and I think back and just kind of throw this out there, but can't help it, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul just cries out, hallelujah. And that's what my soul is doing this morning, just crying out, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. You are awesome. Just praise be to God this morning. Amen.
Amen. Well, we were not on the air last week, and we thank Evangelist Adrian Bernard for holding down the broadcast for us on last weekend. I got a chance to call in, but we were going into a training, and so we were not able to stay on the line. But what I heard was so good. She was giving a testimony of her salvation and how the Lord lovingly drew her to himself and used people, her people in her life, the people in her life, to give testimony of the goodness of God to her. And that's why we're here, to lift up the name of Jesus. He is worthy, and he has done so many great things for us that we should be willing and able to give him the praise. But before we get into the broadcast, we just want to open up with prayer. So, babe, can you open us up with prayer, please?
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we just lift up your name because you are worthy, you are awesome. Lord, there's none like you in all of heaven and all of earth. There is none to be compared with you, because you are just so mighty. Lord God, you love us so. You take care of us so. Lord, we can't help but just praise your name this morning. You are so good. Hallelujah. You've given us life. You've given us strength. You've given us health. Lord God, you placed a roof over our head. You've given us food to eat. You put clothes on our back. All of these things, Lord God, are because of your goodness and your faithfulness. Yes, you have blessed us with jobs that we go and work and make purchases. But if it weren't for you, Lord God, we would not be able to do any of these things. So we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. All credit and honor is due to you, Lord God. And we just lift it up to you right now. We shout hallelujah. We say thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We praise you because you are just so good to us. You are our Heavenly Father. Every good and perfect gift that we have received, it has come from you, not at our own hands, not because we are just so great, and not even because we are worthy, but you have counted us worthy. You have declared that you love us so, that you gave to us, and you not only that, you gave for us your only Son, that we could be saved, that we would not have to die and burn in hell, but you saved us. You made a way, Lord God, and you said, whosoever will. And we just thank you, Lord, for just how great you are, how awesome you are. We all have a testimony this morning, Lord God, that we are alive and well only because of you. And now we give you the glory and the praise. Father, we ask that you bless this broadcast today, anointed, hallelujah, that men and women will hear of your goodness and know that you are their hope, hallelujah, that there is a way out, and that way is through Jesus, hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Bless your people. Let them hear hope throughout this broadcast. Let them know that life is in you, that hope is in you, that there is a way out through you, because you said that you are the way, the truth, and the light. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, bless your people. Bless them to be encouraged. Bless them to be uplifted. And Lord God, we speak right now, healing to go throughout these airways, to touch your people, heal disease, Lord God, raise up the sick from the, and raise up those that are dying. Right now, Lord God, give them breath and give them one more chance, Lord God, hallelujah, to say yes to your will. Lord God, lift up bowed down heads, mend broken marriages. Lord God, reconcile those that have come apart. In the name of Jesus, heal minds, Lord God. Restore bodies. Heal cancer. In the name of Jesus, even diseases and discomforts like arthritis and rheumatism, Lord God, we pray right now that someone who's suffering so, that you will just move in their body. Let their, this moment, hallelujah, be recorded in their diary, in their memory as the moment that they felt you come in and heal their body. In the name of Jesus, we declare these things by faith, believing that it's done, knowing that it's done, because you said that if we would just ask anything of the Father in your name, that it shall be done. And Lord God, we're touching and agreeing on this thing right now, that testimonies will be wrought in the lives of your people, and that in the future we will hear them call in, referencing this day, hallelujah, as when their lives change. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, as I said on last week, we were so blessed to have our overall host to do the broadcast for us. We were in training, and we're excited about what God is doing in our lives. We'll share that at another time, but we just are so grateful. And we have Evangelist Bernard is on the phone right now. Let me open up her mic. Amen, amen, amen. We are.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Having a little something's going on with our computer, but it doesn't show that your line is open. But how are you? I got a chance last week to tune in, but we're getting ready to go into the class. I couldn't hold on. I did hear some of your testimony of how you moved to California and enjoyed hearing that, and wanted to just thank you for hosting for us on last week.
Amen, amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yeah, we can hear you.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, Ella Burns. And it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. We had a nice little crew on last week. So just thanking God for all that he's doing and all that he has done and all that we're expecting him to do. Excited about going back home after almost 30 years. I'm not going back as a prodigal son, but as a joyful handmaid. So I'm excited about what God is doing. I tell you, he's a great God and he's greatly to be praised. I'm in awe every day at his mercies and at his grace, and of course at the promises that he has already made to all of those that have made a decision to follow Christ. So I'm excited about what he's doing, excited about even this Saturday broadcast, what they overcame. God is going to continue to bless. And I know one thing, the Bible says, a faithful man, and I put in there, woman, shall abound with blessings. That's in Proverbs 28 and 20. So all we have to do is stand on the word of God. So I proposed in my heart that I was going to get up this morning and tune in after I got a little hangover, went to Girls Night in the Word with Pastor R.C. Blakes in Oakland, California, and I tell you, it was just a tremendous blessing. He was teaching on the 10 habits of a powerful woman, and I tell you, he didn't take no more than about an hour and 10 minutes to deliver that, and it was just beautiful, beautiful to see all of the sisters and women of God that was there to support that event. I tell you, God is, he's moving, he's moving. He's an awesome God, and all we have to do is just make that commitment and launch out and do what God has called us to do, and I tell you, he will reward you. God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. So just excited and wanted to get on the broadcast with you all this morning and fellowship with you.
We really appreciate you hosting the broadcast on last week for us. And we're so excited also about what God is doing in our lives. We're launching out into a new business venture, and last week was the beginning of our training for that. So we're just excited mm-hmm. about what God is doing and in anticipation of being able to bless the kingdom and bless those, you know, ministries. That one of the things that they talked a lot about last week was what our why was for wanting to get into a business, and one of our whys was that we wanted to be a blessing to the kingdom. You know, as our testimony has been, my husband was working for a Fortune 500 company and was downsized, and we went from a very healthy salary to to a very meager salary. But God has been so faithful to us. We have never been without a roof over our head. We have never missed a meal. We have never suffered, you know, anything that the world would think that you would suffer after such a reduction in our salary, and did not cause us to turn on one another. As a matter of fact, I believe it just made us closer. Would you agree with that, babe?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, after what we have gone from and to, but even in the transition and the afterlife or aftermath, we can just see the hand of God, that how we now know that it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And it wasn't Ford Motor Company that was sustaining us, but we now can see that only God is the sustainer. Uh-huh. He doesn't need a Fortune 500 or a Ford Motor Company, probably a Fortune 100 company. He doesn't need that to take care of his people. He can do it because he's God all by himself. I am the Lord, he says, that he's the one. It's only him. And we just sometimes need to just know that. And we don't know why we go through the things that we do. God knows. And I think about the song that says, we'll understand it better by and by. So we might get a chance to sit at his feet when we get to heaven and just say, okay, well, Lord, why did you do that? But you know what? I'm almost thinking that by the time I get there, none of that's even going to matter anymore. Because another song that it says, when I see Jesus, amen. Because all of that will be over. And when I see Jesus, amen. If I could just sing, I think I'd break out in a song right now.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Well, he does sing every day. He's singing. And I'm so grateful for the fact that my husband was a pew baby. And those that are not new to salvation or the church knows what that means. He was in the womb. He was going to church. And after his birth, he was going to church. So he's been in church all his life. And that gives him the knowledge to know a lot of the older songs. I know some of them, but some of the songs that he sings in the morning and during the day, I don't know all of them, or I've heard them and don't know the words to them. And he's able to sing those songs. And like the scripture says, he makes melody to the Lord in his heart every day. And that's just a blessing. It's a blessing to have a man of God that loves the Lord and that is able to bring a calming spirit over a household with you know, the different personalities in the house. And we're just so grateful to God for the things that he's doing in our life. And Adrian, tell us, when is your move? I know that you're having a celebration, and then that's coming up real soon. And old Al and I were saying we wish that we could get down there and be with you for that celebration. But you'll be closer to us, not real close to us, but closer than California to us when you move here, when you move back down south. So when is your celebration?
The celebration is next Saturday on the 8th at 4 o'clock p.m. It'll be held at our Christ Redeeming Center, where the pastor is Dr. Kenneth E. Burford, and he is one of our speakers that speak for us on the regular broadcast. So it'll be there at 2281 East Main Street there in Stockton, California. And probably by the end of the month, end of March, we will be doing a 1 or 2 day celebration on the broadcast for those that live in different areas, and they want to give us their best wishes and what have you for all those that have spoken on the line and have called in and have been just tremendous supporters of this ministry and this radio broadcast. So we'll let you know when that time approach, but the regular celebration is next Saturday. So we will be moving the last week in March going into the first week of April. So right in that week there. So I'll be in transition for about 3 or 4 days. So I'll try to get on the line or what have you. I tell you, it's just been, Jesus, you know how it is when you're trying to move and when you see all of the things that you have accumulated, and I say, Lord, this is a new season here. I don't need a full closet, a full wardrobe and hundreds of shoes and all this stuff. You know, after you get into another realm and you begin to mature in Christ, you realize what's important. Those, the things are not important. They're nice to have, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm like Solomon. He say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So this season I'm investing more in the word. I'm investing more in people and rather than things. And as I begin to just go through all of the different things, I say, Lord, this is crazy. So I won't be taking anything but my personal belongings. Somebody told me, yeah, well, you just don't build up another something there in New Orleans. But I don't see that. I want to invest more into the kingdom, invest more into God's work. And, you know, you think about, you know, as you're maturing in age and everything, you have to leave a legacy for your children, and you have to invest in security and not these tangible things, because all of this stuff is going to pass away, and we just surely we know we can't take anything with us. So I'm looking at life now, Elder Burns and Minister Burns, through another set of lenses, and I thank God that He has given me the opportunity where I can wear and see through some different lenses. So that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Amen.
We do once we get a little older, our mindset kind of changes as to what the important things are. And like the scripture says, to seek God first. And we don't have to go after these things. Those things will come to us. The scripture talks about the blessings overtaking us. And God knows what we need. And what our desires are. So we just happy, like I said, one of our big whys for wanting to get into business, of course, is to, you know, my husband and I talk about leaving a legacy. The scripture says that it's a wise man that leaves a inheritance for his children's children. And so that's one of our whys why we want to do the business. But one of our bigger whys is we just want to be a blessing to the kingdom, like you, Adrian. We just want, you know, the Lord to be glorified. And we can't always, I mean, yes, we can give praise and we can give honor and glory to God, but you can't pay a light bill with a hallelujah. You have to have something behind that. And to bless the kingdom. And so that's one of our whys, you know, one of our whys. So we thank God. We thank God for your ministry and allowing us to have this opportunity. It's sometimes disheartening, you know, to me. And I share with my husband, and sometimes I share on Facebook, but how people are not receptive to giving a testimony. I put out a clarion call a couple of weeks ago to people individually. I hit them up individually and asked them to give a clarion call, but I mean to give a testimony for the Lord. And, you know, I got some thumbs up, and I asked my husband, I said, well, what does that mean? And they give me a thumbs up. Are you going to call in or what? But to God be the glory. I'm just blessed, you know, to be able to hear the things that God is doing in the lives of his people. And I know that God is blessed. And I know those that listen, go back into the archives and listen to the testimonies are blessed because God is doing some great things in the lives of his people. Some awesome things in the lives of his people, and I just bless God. I won't be discouraged by the numbers. I won't be discouraged by the numbers, but to God be the glory for the things that he's doing. Amen. Amen. Well, honey.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm definitely here, enjoying just the encouraging words. And I don't know, as we look at just how life has been, and God just over and over again is so patient with us. You know, we talk about different opportunities that we have, and we even hear some of the preachers that talk about, and this is kind of old terminology, but I've heard some of the preachers talk about him being a chance again God, and that's, you know, not a new concept. That's just who God is. He's a God that is long suffering. That's in us. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit that we're supposed to have when we're born again, and that is to be long-suffering, because God is long-suffering. And how many times do we just have to, you know, just be presented things from God? Well, often, you know, as often as it takes, because that's the kind of God that he is. And we just praise God that at this stage of our life that he has presented an opportunity and the means to take advantage of that. And I just praise God for that. And we do look forward to just more than anything being a blessing to the world. To the kingdom, being able to, because we have always enjoyed giving, and where with our finances that were cut the way that they were, we weren't able to just do like we used to do. And sometimes we look at each other, or we discuss it, especially at the end of the year when we get the letter from the churches, you know, with our contributions, and we look at where they are now and where they used to be, and every now and then it gets a little discouraging, but then we have to remind ourselves, just as, you know, David said, sometimes we have to just encourage ourselves, but how Jesus, you know, let us know, even in his parables, it's not about how much the dollar amount is, but it's about what the sacrifice is. And he gave the example of the widow's mite, as it's called, how she gave such a small dollar amount, but it was a great amount for her, and he praised her in her giving. So and then the Bible goes on to say that he will give seed to the sower. So I believe, you know, just a word of encouragement for those who feel like maybe we have felt discouraged about what they've been able to give, but continue to be a sower into the kingdom. And according to God's word, he will give you seed. So, you know, just more and more, he'll bless you with opportunities. He'll bless you with means. He'll bless you with the actual money, gifts that you need, that you want to sow into the kingdom. So we're just excited about that. We're excited about being able to help ministries, excited about being able to help communities, those in need. We're just looking forward to just being great in the kingdom of God. Not great from our standpoint, but just doing great things for God, because it's Him. It's Him that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and it's certainly God's will that His people are blessed, and it's certainly His will that we, with our hands, our tongues, our money, our resources, are used to bless the people of His kingdom. So everyone just be encouraged and always seek the Lord, because He is a prayer answering God, and He will come through for you. I just thank God for that.
Amen. 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 Well, we are don't have any guests today. We don't have any calls coming in. So, Sister Adrienne, did you have anything else that you wanted to share with us?
Share with the listeners, those that may go back on into the archives and listen to these testimonies and these messages. I want to just encourage people to know that God is a God that never forgets. And as I was saying on yesterday, I had to do some reproving Ella Burns and Minister Burns and some correction on yesterday. I didn't call it rebuke. You know, the Bible says, oh, rebuke is sometimes you have to go there also. But I was saying, you know, when, you know, we are on Monday through Friday, and as I begin to just look at the stats and everything, one of our pastors that come on, Pastor Hamilton, does Provoke Fridays for us. And he's been with us about a year now and has been diligent and has been such a faithful, loving, and supportive man of God. And he was on yesterday, so after he finished preaching and what have you, I had to remind the people as I began to look at the stats and seeing, you know, over 69,000 listeners, and that's including this segment also. And I just marvel at what God has done. And as I begin to just reminisce and reflect, of course, you know, the title of our show is A Time of Reflection. And as I begin to just reflect upon God's goodness and how we launched this ministry, it was at a very critical time in my life, a time when, you know, I was at a stage of being disappointed with some of our leaders in ministry. But I can remember as I resigned from a position with an organization and what have you, and was just uncertain of my future and, you know, how I was going to maintain in being able to minister effectively in that area. And I can remember as God, and this is a testimony also, as I sought God and began, well, God is the one really that released me, because I wanted to continue on. But, you know, the Bible also said where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. So even as I tried to successfully move on, it was without difficulty. And as I sought God, I said, Lord, I just don't see myself being able to do effective ministry in this area, so what am I going to do? You know, sometimes when, not sometimes, but most times when you walk away from an organization or a church or what have you, and God open up doors for you, you don't see those doors opening in the midst of your turmoil and what you're going through. But as I sought God, the Lord told me no. He said I wanted to move then. That's been 3 years ago. well, really 4 years ago. It's approaching 4 years. And I said, Lord, I got to get on up out of here. You know, I just, I talk to the Lord just like I'll talk to you, Minister Billy. You know, I talk to the Lord just like that, crazy sometimes. You know, hey, what's up? So I said, Lord, I have to get out of here. I can't continue to minister in this area because I felt like I was going to be blackballed. And that's what we do sometimes, and that's a bad reputation to have. That's a bad mark to even have on Christianity. You know, we shouldn't even feel that way, and we shouldn't even even think in our minds that, you know, we are going to retaliate against anyone that walks away from your ministry and God opens up doors for them to do another ministry. Amen. Sometimes I look at Paul and Barnabas, you know, they had to separate, amen, and they had a disagreement and what have you over, you know, John Mark being with them on one of their journeys. So, you know, sometimes it is good to separate, but you got to be careful on what you have done. And I remember as I launched this ministry, and the Lord spoke to me, and he told me, he said, I have some people that you know not of. And the Bible said, you know, he even told the prophet that, hey, you're not the only one left, sweetheart. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been disappointed. But guess what? I have 7,000 that haven't even bowed to Baal, haven't even uttered a word to Baal. So as I launched this ministry in God, and I look back now at what God had promised me, he said he was going to introduce me to some people that I know not of. And as I look at those 69,000 listeners, Ella Burns and Minister Burns, some I'll never meet face-to-face. Some I only, the only communication we'll have and the only way I'll be able to discern anything with them is by hearing their voice. But God has been faithful. Jesus, he has been so faithful, and he has done just that. And so even in the midst of that, I remember I was in transition and moving from one from a house, downsizing from a four-bedroom home to an apartment. And I can remember that being a low point. And the Lord said, even in that, I am going to bless you. And God has done just that. Amen. And as I just look at God, you know, when even in the scripture in Acts, I think it's in the fourth chapter where the Bible speak of the apostles and talked about the great grace that was upon them all. So God has granted us great grace, and we can do, and you know, I just don't say that scripture, we can do all things as a cliche, through Christ who strengthen us, but I know for a certainty that we can do all things through Christ who strengthen us. So even in the midst of that, me walking away from a prestigious position, again, it was appointed by me, and it was an appointment of God. Amen. So I had to go back in order for God to release the blessings upon my life and for me to have peace of mind and for God to be pleased with me. God told me to call each and every one of those board members and apologize. And when I was praying, and I knew it was God, Elder Burns, because nobody but God could have you to do something that you in your mind is unthinkable. It's like, what? Please, I'm not, what? Not, I don't think so, Lord. But I knew it was God. He said, I want you to call everyone, get in contact with every one of those board members, and I want you to ask them for forgiveness. And I said, what? Apologize for what? Please. You know, the flesh kicked in then. Lord, I know this is you, but why are you asking me to do something this crazy? I didn't do anything. You know, we always feel as though we are the ones that have been victimized. But I know one thing, God will not hold us responsible for what others do to us. He's going to hold us responsible what we do. Amen. So you get off of you, and guess what? Let God do what he does. And I had to do that. And I remember the one that caused me, like Alexander Grace said, caused me the much harm. I remember me wanting that person to be the very last one, you know, that I had to call and ask for forgiveness and apologize too. But then as I flip through my phone book and I'm remembering it as though it was yesterday, I said, Lord, this was going to be the last one I call. And you know what? The one that I thought would be the last one I would call, that one was the most receptive one. And that was the one that kept up all the hell, you know, I'll say. But the Lord had them to just break them on down. See, can't nobody break folks down like God. Hallelujah. And I just thank God because, you know what, had I not did that, had I not been obedient to the voice of God, then I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I wouldn't have been able to minister. I wouldn't have been able to have this platform where there's no blemishes, there's no flaws there. God has been pleased. Amen. And I give him all the glory. But I had to humble myself. And you talking about a humbling experience, honey, that was a humbling experience for me because this flesh did not want to do any of those things, but I did it. And as I began to do that, even when God was dealing with me, God told me, he said, you're going to see 24-hour turnaround. And I say, well, Lord, if I'm going to see 24-hour turnaround, guess what? This flesh is going to just subject itself, and I'm going to do what you have told me to do because I want to be blessed. I don't want the cursing of God to be upon me and to be upon my children. I want the blessings of the Lord to overtake me. Amen. So I was obedient, Minister Burns and Ella Burns, and God truly, he opened up the floodgates. Hallelujah. And he has certainly rewarded me for my obedience. You know, as I begin to look at 1 Samuel, you know, God told Saul, amen, to go and kill the Amalekites. He said, don't leave no boy, girl, woman, I don't want, man, nothing left alive. You are to destroy everything in that camp. But Saul, you know, Saul said that, hey, you know, we going to spare the king's life. And then they took up the spoil and they going to do other than what God had said. And when God saw that disobedience, you know, God was angry with Saul, and he said, Saul, I told you to go and do everything that I commanded you to do. And then he decided to say, well, you know, the people encouraged me, the people encouraged me to do this. And the Lord said, well, you know what? How in the world can the people curse you and influence you to do something other than what I have commanded you to do? You are the king. Now, how are you going to be persuaded of the people? Amen. And at that time, then God rendered the kingdom of God was already rendered out of his hand. So obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. Sometimes we think because we sow a seed, we're making a great sacrifice, but God rather you not even sow if you can't obey. If you can't obey God, the sacrifice, he won't even accept it. and you won't be rewarded. Because if you disobedient, then he said the sacrifice don't mean him any good. God don't need your sacrifice. He don't need your money. Amen. He don't even need your praises, because he said, if you don't praise me, the rocks, I'll cause the rocks to praise me. Amen. So it's an honor to be obedient to God. So I'm thankful today, and I just, when I just think on God's grace, and even with my children, tell you all, Kevielle had another baby, so I have another great grandson. Amen. So when I was sharing with my mother already knew I was moving, but last week she told me, Adrian, you got to stay and help that girl with our children. I said, baby, I don't have no other children that I have to help. Nino will be 17 years old next month, and he's a junior. He's the last baby, and I pray that God allow them to live, Billy, to raise their children, because the only babies I'll be raising is the new babes in Christ. It won't be no great-grandchildren, trust me. Not at all. So my mother, I said, Lord, I didn't even entertain her. Honey, I kept it moving, because I know what God has prepared for me, honey. I have paid my dues. I have raised these kids, and now they all are adults. I don't owe no living child anything. So I'm going down there to be a support to my own son. I hate that I'm leaving my sister, but God even blessed me and gave me a peace of mind in that he's going to release her. So he said, you're not leaving her. She's in my hands, baby. So guess what? Just as soon as you out of here, she'll be right behind you. So God is faithful, and I just want to encourage the listeners and even you and your husband, how faithful you all have been. God rewards faithfulness, amen, and it ain't in numbers, because he said one can chase the three of us on the line this morning. He said one can chase 1,000, and two can put 10,000 to a flight. So be encouraged. You're doing a good work. Don't come now. Greater is coming, amen. So that's my testimony on today. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised, and everything that he's promised you, he's the only promise keeper that I'll know that'll never renege. He'll never come up with he won't manufacture an excuse. Amen. He won't fall short on his promises. Everything that God has promised you, he will perform it, because he's not a man that he would lie. Amen. Yeah. He's a great God. And he's greatly to be praised. So I just thank him for what he's doing. I thank him for this platform. And as I said I had to do some reproving and reproving and some correction on yesterday, because this platform is a platform where we have the power and the influence to be a witness for Christ. You know, I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care what your beliefs are. You know, if we come on this line, my line, Monday through Friday, and preach or teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's all I'm interested in. If you was baptized another way than what I've been baptized, I have no problem with that. If you sit in the Baptist church or the Methodist church, I have no problem with that, as long as you come on the line and preach and teach this gospel. And, you can do that. I'm satisfied with that. And there is no erroneous doctrine, amen, not in the Bible. So if you're preaching out the Bible, no scripture is erroneous, but the Bible does say the scriptures are there, and they're there to be reproved. They're there to be corrected. We can't correct the scripture, but guess what? We don't have to get in no debate. So I made it very, very clear, Ella Burns and Sister Burns, that we're not here to debate. We're not here for no conflict and no controversy. So if that's what you're going to use this platform for, then dial into another line, because this is not the line. okay? And I'm not, you know, when the speakers come on sometimes, you know, we open up the lines for comments and questions. I may have to cut that out altogether because you have people come on and they want to give a sermonette. They want to take you to three and four scriptures, and they're not the speaker. So you're taking away from the speaker. They have already given you the message. Give your comment and thank the Lord for the word and move on. You know, and if you have any issues, guess what? If somebody serves us a plate of food, if there's something on it that we don't like, we discard of it. So if it's something that is ministered on the line and you're not in agreement with it, guess what? Take what you can eat and the rest that you can't eat, discard of it. That's all I have to say. So, you know, I had ran into an incident where two speakers this week said something that was unsettling to one of the ministers. Amen. And I got a call on both days where they were like, oh, this is erroneous. Come on, leave me, loose me, okay? I'm going to say like these young folks, miss me, okay? Because if it was unsettling for you, just do what you have to do. I don't want to hear that, okay? And this is our platform, and we're going to govern it the way God is instructing us to do it. And if you have a problem with it, we love you, we appreciate you, but guess what? We don't need you on this line because I'm not here to stir up no controversies. I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to argue. That's not what the Lord has given us this platform for, and that is not why I faithfully get on this line every day to let the listeners hear a word from God. So, you know, sometimes I didn't want to go there, but it was necessary. So I'm done. God bless y'all.
Amen,
yeah,
amen.
That's the danger. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ellenberg.
I just wanted to because I don't know if you're leaving the line or not, but
the line is going to continue. Okay. That line is going to continue.
No, I meant today. If you were getting ready to hang up or not, I just wanted to say something that came to me as you were talking, and this is something that the Lord has just been working with me just this morning when I woke up, or I think even yesterday I began to think on this thing, and I think your talk kind of gave me a good segue into that, how that, you know, you've lived, you've done your ministry there, and now it's time to move and do something else somewhere else. But one of the things that I just want to encourage you and the rest of the listeners, and I know that some are going to listen in later, living your life for the Lord is just it's a huge deal. Sometimes we witness, we teach, we preach, we talk to people sometime until we're blue in the face because we want them to know what we know and have what we have. But as long as you're doing what God has called you to do, then God's taking care of all the rest of those things. You know, we've heard ministers always say, if you just take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. But I was thinking in the form of a testimony of, and this, I'm kind of stealing part of my wife's testimony, but this just came on me very strong yesterday, mm-hmm. how that in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, where Paul talks about us being the epistles. And I'm going to read verse 3 of that. And I think I'm looking at the NIV version that says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. what we live is sometimes, people say, the only Jesus that people ever know. They don't necessarily read the Bible. They don't go to church and hear the scriptures or hear the word preach, but they see us. And if we're living that life, then God is doing something through our faithfulness of living that life. And what I think about is, and hopefully this will help somebody who's listening who might be discouraged about some things, but I think about my wife and her family, specifically Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy, who was an awesome man, who was a very awesome man, just in his own right. My wife, baby, you got saved, in 82, did you say?
81.
And I know when I came into her life and moved to Chicago, we were always, we spent a lot of time with her family, especially over at Uncle Jimmy's and Auntie's house. And you remember how I used to frequently kind of chide my wife about being saved and, just church stuff and so on and so forth. And Uncle Jimmy was a pistol. We enjoyed him to death, but he was a pistol. But I can just remember all those years that we just kept, and he would chide her, and my wife never changed, and, she'd kid with them, laugh with them. But at the end, toward the end of his life, lo and behold, all of a sudden, Uncle Jimmy came to church. He didn't just come to church. He came up. He was saved. And it was not very long after that that he lost his life to cancer. But my wife never stopped living the life in front of him. And I just know to my day that that example that she contained, that steadfastness that she just demonstrated, let him know that this Jesus, that God is real. And when he was ready to change his life, he was able to look to God because he could see the realness of her life, of God in her life. And Uncle Jimmy's one of those, how you go to funerals and the preachers say, nice things. They say this heavenly stuff, and you really just don't know. all we can say is, God's the judge. But Uncle Jimmy's one of those that we were able to just sit there and know that he's gone on to be with the Lord. And I just believe it was because of the life, the example that my wife lived in front of him. Mm-hmm. So those of you who, you're concerned about people, you're concerned about your ministry, you're concerned about your witness, continue to live the life because you are that epistle. You are the Bible walking around that men are able to read your life and therefore reading the Word of God, because the Word of God is being manifest through your life. And Sister Adrian, just be encouraged that the Word of God is being manifest through you. So all of those that you are concerned about, your loved ones, whoever they are, your life is being an example to them that God, in his perfect time, is going to do the work. Because the Bible lets us know that he brought into the church as many as should be saved. So he's the one that brings them in. And your life is certainly going to be a catalyst in so many that will enter into the kingdom. So just be encouraged. And I just wanted to somehow just share how impressed I was with even just, how, and that's the thing that impressed me about my wife. I tell people we've often told the story of how we got together, how we met. We're supposed to be set up probably about maybe 6 months before we actually met, and I canceled out. But we ended up not really by chance, but seemingly by chance, meeting anyway. And I always tell people, her hair caught my attention, but her heart for God is what caught my heart. And I just thank God for that.
Well, I am you just about, babe, not talking about me, but just remembering about Uncle Jimmy, and he was one that brought, even not being saved, and he was in no way a perfect man, but he was one that loved people and loved the family. He loved the family, and
yes.
I was so blessed when he got saved. I remember we had invited him to a program that I was emceeing. I think I was emceeing, and had, you know, invited them before, but they never came. But Uncle Jimmy came this time, and the joy that I felt when he walked down that aisle, it brings tears to my eyes right now, you know, because the Lord. I had gone to a prayer breakfast, and during the prayer time, the Lord told me that he was going to save my family. We have a legacy. We come from a long line of preachers and evangelists, pastors, teachers. So during this prayer time at this prayer breakfast, the Lord told me that he was going to save my family, and he was going to start with my Uncle Jimmy. And Uncle Jimmy was married into our family. He married my aunt. And so, you know, I was rejoicing, and it took years. We were married at that time. My husband and I were married at that time, but we were newly married. And it took years and years and years, but I never, you know, when God, like you were saying, Evangelist, when God makes a promise, no matter what it looks like, hold on, because God is not a man. And if he I heard him say that to me. That's not scripture. That's nowhere in the scripture that I'm going to save your family starting with your Uncle Jimmy. That's nowhere in the scripture. God, I heard God say that to me, and God fulfilled that promise to me. And I'm looking, since then, he has saved other family members, and, you know, not to negate that, but, you know, you have specific ones that you want to be saved, but I look at that, and it encourages me, and that's what I love about this broadcast, is the fact that we're able to hear the things that God is doing in the lives of the guests that we have on. And it's so vitally important that people give their testimonies. The young man, E-Fetty, that was on, I don't know if you heard his testimony, Sister Adrienne, he was from 9 years old, he was in trouble, always in trouble. He came from, his parents were from Nigeria, and so he got teased a lot as a young child, and so that made him fight. And in his fighting, you know, he became such a good fighter that he would fight all the time. Well, he, from fifth grade on, he was in trouble. He was kicked out of school. He was kicked out of alternative schools. Just, you know, seemingly a bad seed, but was raised going to church. And now he is a successful businessman. He has stores, and I'm going to post again his information, but he has two stores in two very upscale malls here in my area, in the Raleigh-Durham area, two very upscale malls. And he is a Christian rapper. So he goes around and he raps, and such a delightful person. You never would, you know, guess that he was the bad guy that he, you know, he gave the testimony that he was. But those let us know that in any situation that we're in, if we look to God, he will bring us out on the top. I was listening to you, and that was something that I used to tell, you know, having sons myself, we have four boys. I would always tell them, you know, how you, when somebody say your mama and you want to fight them, and I used to tell them, don't fight is what they're saying. They don't know me. So don't fight. God will repay. God is the one that's going to repay people, you know, for the things that they do to you. And obedience, another testimony of a pastor now ex-lesbian, lived in a homosexual lifestyle for over 20 years, in a relationship for over 20 years. And now she is a pastor. She is a woman. She doesn't have independencies, manly tendencies, is open for marriage, wants to be married, you know, not her heart desire, but is open, you know, for marriage. People are saying that you cannot be, you can't come out of homosexuality. But don't tell me what my God can't do. That's a testimony. That woman is a testimony. So our testimonies are so important. They are so important for people to hear. And I have Prophet Michael Lewis on, and I'm going to open up his mic so that I'm so glad that he's able to join us this morning. He's another California person. And thank you for getting up this early, my brother, to join into the broadcast this morning. Okay, I for some reason have been having problems with my computer, but whenever you can start talking, it's not on, the circle is not going around, but I'm opening up your mic, so I'll let you know when it's completely open. But our testimonies are so important, and no glory goes to us for God using us, but what he does hold us accountable for is to live a life in front of people so that they can see your good work and glorify him. Not the good work to glorify us, you know, like Paul said, and don't bow down to me because I'm a man just like you. God is using me in this position. And when we open ourselves up, he'll use us. We don't always have to have a sit behind a pole and preach, you know, to the church. Come out of the church. There is the Jesus said, look at the fields. They're white. They're ready for harvest. They're ready for harvest. Apostle, your mic is open. Are you there?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Always a pleasure to bless you.
Amen. We're talking, Evangelist. I know you heard or I saw that you had been on with Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and I know you guys are going to miss her in California.
Oh, no.
She's a whole no.
Amen. They're going to miss you. They're going to miss you.
She knows that.
She knows. Yes. So we just.
Pastor, Pastor Beatrice Martin and Sister T went with me to Oakland last night. So after I seen all those brothers there, I say I should have invited Brother Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was girls night in the word, but honey, they had the brothers was in the house too. I said, she and I was laughing. She said, now you know he would have came, but I didn't know because I certainly would have came and got you, Mike.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
Amen. So we were just kind of reminiscing and talking about, you know, the things that God has done in our lives and how blessed it is to walk this walk. You know, I remember years when I was growing up, and I used to would go to church, but we weren't in the church. But my mom would, of course, you know, send us to church, and how I didn't want to have any part of it. I was like, you all can't do anything. You can't, you know, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. And I didn't want to have any part of it. But after coming over into salvation, I see that this is where the joy is, not necessarily always happiness, but the joy is knowing that you have a choice. I would tell people when witnessing to them that I have a choice. I have a choice as to whether I want to sin or not. I have a choice as to whether I want to do this or do that. But you don't have a choice. There's liberty and salvation, but there is not liberty. Your father, the devil, doesn't want you to do the things that I do. I said, but my father gives me the opportunity. If I want to do them, I can do them.
Amen.
But why would I trade gold for ash? Why would I trade, you know, a crown for some dirt? Why would I do that? I have the crown, so, you know, and salvation. So why would I trade that? Why would I trade that? So I'm just so grateful to God, you know, for just the opportunity. My husband asked me when did I get saved, and I remember so clearly that day, March the 15th, 1985. I remember that. Received the Holy Ghost April the 15th, 1981. I'm sorry, 1981. So I remember those dates. And I just thank God for, you know, just salvation. Thank him for bringing me into the light, allowing me to be receptive and giving me that space to get Billy out of the way so that he could come in and take control. Not that I've always done everything right, but, you know, thank God for his grace and his mercy, his new mercies every day that I receive. So, amen, amen, amen. Well, we are rounding up. We're going to, we've really been on the air longer than I thought that we were going to be on the air because we don't have any guests today. Brother Mike, did you have a testimony that you wanted to leave with us today?
Oh, yeah, always.
Let me say this before you start. I have enjoyed reading about your family and the accomplishments that your family has made to our history. Thank you for sharing.
Amen, amen. And, you know, coming out of the family, you wouldn't believe the total dysfunction from some people that were very gifted. And for whatever reason, you know, my family never remained close. And when you know, I my father, when he was born, I mean, born, whatever, he was a pastor, and I very seldom had seen him, had very vivid memories, but, you know, it was told this was my dad, so since I found out he's my dad, I made it my business to find out about my family. And it was through that, you know, I began to find out the contributions they made and the things that they did in the city of Oakland. There was other things they done back south, but in the city of Oakland, you know, I was amazed. And then at one of my cousin's funeral, he called himself Black Jesus. His name was Curtis C. Baker. And the things that he done to get some of the major corporations that was in Oakland at the time, early 50s, 60s, that they didn't have black secretaries, how he boycotted and moved, and, you know, he trained women first, taught them, you know, the little skills. They had some kind of classes and taught them how to dress, and then he sent them to the places of business, and it wasn't long later that they were accepted into the workforce. And he wrote a couple of books about Oakland, and, you know, I was very proud, and I thank and praise God that, you know, the roots run deep. And when my last uncle died, you know, I knew he's not going to go communicate in heaven to my dad, but I put it in the poetry, you know, that, hey, tell dad that his shoes kind of hard to fill, you know, that he, you know, you left a long legacy. But I thank and praise God that, you know, I see now the intent of his heart. You know, he was Baptist all his life, but I look at what he tried to do in God. He somewhat came short, because you have to have the Holy Ghost to keep yourself, you know. And it looked like in ministry that a lot of women gravitate toward that office of pastors and preachers. And, you know, he was a man, and he had other women pregnant. So this is how I come to be, you know, was through him having sex with my mom that four of us was out of that litter. So I look at my life, and at first, you know, I was upset and discouraged, upset with God, because he died when I was 8 years old, and there was really not a man that ever truly deposited in my life until I went to Europe, got in trouble, you know, and the streets became my dad, and I was doing the things that the streets, you know, taught me how to do. But because of my mom's strong hand, it was only so far that I was willing to get out of shape, because, you know, my mom, she believed in the beatings, and she didn't spare the rod, but she did spoil two of her children. That was the oldest and the baby. And it showed in their life, because my oldest brother was in and out of prison, and then my baby sister had one of the foulest mouths that you ever want to be around. But it was the rest of us that she totally, thoroughly disciplined. And, you know, I didn't go to jail until I got out of her house, and that was when I was in Europe doing my thing, and I didn't stay in prison long, but that was the only reason I went. But even while I was doing what I was doing in Europe, my mom's teachings and them beatings, you know, they stayed there. And it was that when I did get saved that, you know, I used to have a Bible study with my mom, and she would hurt my feelings. I was born a Baptist, and I'm going to die a Baptist. But I thank and praise God that, you know, I moved to Stockton, California. I got into New Beginnings Deliverance Center, and, you know, I shared my testimony how stint with drugs and coming off of drugs for helping Danielle, that I became free. And when I became free, I began to share with my mom the baptism in Jesus' name. And at the age of 78, I brag on it, my mom went down in Jesus' name at New Beginnings. So I thank and praise God for that. And then I was hearing how y'all was saying about God promised, you know, that he would save our family. And you know, I began in ministry to go out and witness when I got saved. I went and got my best friend. You know, all of them was selling drugs and gang banging, and I went, got them, and then I got the first brother, my best friend, and after I got him, we went, got his little brother, and then we went, got his cousin, and then we got the cousin's cousin, and came back to his family. We got his sister, and then we came back, got the mama. Then we went to a couple of other families, but died systematically. Now, I'm not dealing with my family, but I'm dealing with everybody else's family. And through time, when I went to go preach last year at the Master Seal in Oakland, that I found out one of my cousins, got my prayer, God, save my family, found out one of my cousins had come across the apostolic teaching, she following the apostolic doctrine. And then my other cousin, who's a pastor in the family, he was able to hear the baptism in Jesus' name and the teaching. And we sat down thereafter and began to share, you know, the word of God. And I thank and praise God that, you know, his word is not short and it don't fall, but it does exactly what he said it would do, to accomplish that whereunto he sent for it to be prospered. So, you know, even in that, Sister Adrian, know assuredly that God has marked your family. And as Sister Billy said, you know, Brother Burns said, God's going to save those. It's all in his timing. So that time is coming because of the labor that you have done. And he said he will not forget your labor and love. And God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men call slackness, but you have labored with your family. Your prayer is continually, God save your family, and he's hearing your cry, and he's hastening to perform your word. He's getting ready to do exactly what he said he's going to do, but it's all in his timing. And, you know, even in mine, it took my mom 30-something years later, but she got baptized in Jesus' name. I'm quite sure I wasn't the first one who told her. You know, my oldest sister grew up in the apostolic since the 70s, so I'm quite sure her and my mom might have had discussions, but it was through other people that she left the Baptist, and they began to work on her. It went through the Church of God in Christ, and then it went to some non-denominationals, and then in the ending, she came around to the apostolic teaching. So I thank and praise God for that. So, Sister Adrian, be encouraged, and I told you, if there's anything I can do, I mean, we just a hop, skip, and a jump away. You know, I love witness. I love going out winning souls. This is what it's about. This is the, I tell folks, this is the heartbeat of God, going out and winning souls, because he said, ye shall be witnesses after you receive the Holy Ghost. So one of the most perplexing things for being church is people that you know, saying and professing they have the Holy Ghost, but yet they're not going out witnessing. They're not going out doing the work that God called for us to do. So, you know, I let folks know on the campus, they say, well, where is your church? I say, well, right now I'm a church without walls. You know, John the Baptist didn't have a church. I say his platform was the wilderness. So my platform, it's the wilderness. It's anywhere where I go. And if God wants me to have a building, where he's going to give me one, and right now he gave me one, the men's shelter on Tuesday nights. And I told him, I say, well, I ain't got no money, God. I need a building that's free, electricity paid for, and all the amenities that go along with it. And look what he gave me, a men's shelter where they pay the electricity, they pay the heating bill, and I ain't got to pay a dime for rent. And men have been coming faithfully, 15, 20 men. I mean, it's full of 100-something men, but 15 so far have came faithfully to the Bible studies. And it's not all about me, because I teach maybe 5-10 minutes, and I let other preachers teach. And a young group from Christ Temple, I think that's the name, whatever the Pastor Haney, you know who it is, Sister Adrian. They have a school, and last Tuesday I let the school come in, and they, you know, the brothers, they sang and testified, and a couple of them preached. So, you know, I'm doing it like God said. It's not about, you know, withholding nobody back. It ain't about me. It's bigger than me. It's all about him, and this is what we got to realize. And when we realize that, and I know when you went to Oakland to my sister's funeral, Sister Adrian, my friend Derek and Jean told you that, you know, this is what I done. So just like you doing it for others, that's going to be people that's going to assist you into going out and winning your family, because you opened up the platform for the radio station. You're witnessing to people by way of the internet, by way of the blog talk radio. You're speaking into other people's life, and this is what God is looking at. Since you're speaking into somebody else's life, someone's going to be speaking in your family's life. So you can take that to the bank. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. That is so true, Brother Mike. I know that sometimes your family won't even hear you. Like my husband said, Uncle Jimmy used to laugh. He used to laugh at us, and you know, not maliciously, but you know how your family would do you. But he was a man. He was personal friends with the mayor of Chicago. He didn't know. I don't think he was personal friends with Harold Washington, but Eugene Sawyer, who was the mayor after Mayor Washington, he was personal friends with him. So he was a man of prestige. He had, you know, prestigious life. And so, but when he got saved at his funeral, the brother that worked with him after he got baptized, and those that are, you know, that are familiar with the Holiness Church, you know what I mean when I say work with him, for him to receive the Holy Ghost. He said he knew that Uncle Jimmy was serious, because he said that he took his teeth out. He took his teeth out because he did not want to hinder, you know, the Holy Ghost being able to speak through him. So he took his teeth out. And, you know, he just, you know, was talking. He said, you know, you hear people talking about who they know and who they don't know. But at the funeral, Mayor Sawyer, who was not the mayor at that time, was there. And there were other dignitaries that were there at the funeral, and you know, it just was a blessing for them, a witness for them also, that someone could humble themselves to that point, you know, to want God to have free will in his their lives. God in our lives, I say that all the time, that we are epistles read of men. People look at our lives, and because of our lives, so we have to be very careful. We don't know who's watching us, and then we know who's watching us. I went to beauty school, and one of the ladies that was in school with me got saved, and she told me. She said, "You never. When I told you I was just as saved as you, and I'm going to the club and drinking, and you." And I say, I'm saved too. She said, you never told me that I wasn't saved. She said, but you just lived your life in front of me. And now she is a powerful, powerful evangelist in Chicago. She does a lot of deliverance, and God has given her books to write on deliverance and demonology, and, you know, just a powerful woman in the kingdom. And our lives reflect God. If our lives reflect God, we don't have to say anything. Our lives is what people see, because you could talk one thing, but then your life not, you know, add up to that. And people see that too. People see when your life does not add up to what you're speaking out of your mouth. So thank God for this broadcast. I'm always so in awe of how God will. I was planning on us being on the radio because I didn't have any a specific guest for today. So I was thinking that we would be on the radio for about an hour, and then I would end the broadcast. But look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Honey, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Just, again, continuing to bask in all the rich words of testimony and encouragement and just seeing how powerful God is. And we know that he's faithful, and we just thank God for that more than anything. I always tell people, we talk about all the different attributes of God, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, his omniscience, and this and that. But the thing that's most exciting to me about who God is that he's just faithful. So if he said something, he's going to do it. What his promises are will come to pass. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And as I look back over my life, I've gone through some things, some self-inflicted. But no matter where I've been, I can look back and see that his word is true, that he has never left me nor forsaken me. And what his word has been, it will be. He will continue to never leave me nor forsake me, any of us. The word of God is true because God is faithful. So you can always depend on God. You can always turn to God. You can always look to God because he is our hope. He's our only salvation, and he's always there. So no matter what we go through, when we get to wit's end, when we've tried, the song used to say, when we've tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. We just haven't always learned to forget about trying everything and going through all the failures and going directly to Jesus. But whether you get to him first or when you finally run out of other avenues, the faithfulness of God is still there. The foundation of the Lord stands sure. The Lord knows who are his. We are his, and he's there for you all the time. And that's the most exciting. I won't say that's the most important, but to me, that's the most exciting attribute of God, is that we just know that he's faithful. And because he is faithful, we just know that he's always there. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to worry. But he's going to always bring us out. I just thank God for that.
Amen. Well, we are going to end at this point and just thank the Lord for Evangelist joining us this morning. And again, thank you for hosting us on last week while we were in training. And I got a chance to hear some of your testimony. I don't know if you were manning the board, so did you see that I was on? Did you see that I was on?
Yes.
Yeah, I had to go because we were going into training, and I just wanted to let you know that I was there. But you were doing a good job and giving a good testimony, and I heard you talking about when you first moved to California, and I enjoyed the part that I heard, and so I want you to call in and give that testimony. A lot of us start our lives off, you know, once we get saved, people think that we haven't gone through anything, or people think that, you know, our life has just all been up and everything is, you know, good, as they say, all good. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. And sometimes we kind of, I know that we did back in the day when I first got saved, you kind of gave the indication that once you got saved, everything would be just perfect. And then when you get into this thing, you say, oh, wait. I didn't know that I was going to have to go. I didn't know that he was going to have to work that out of me. Oh, you know, that hurts. That hurts. But, you know, God is faithful. And even though some things may not be pleasant, you know, in this life, but all things will work out for our good. Sometimes you don't understand how can that work out for my good, but God is faithful. And he said, because he said that it was going to work out for my good, I'm just going to trust that he knows what he's talking about. So I just thank God for you two taking the time out. And you guys are in California, and it's very, very early in the morning for you, 5 o'clock in the morning when our broadcast starts. So thank you, and Brother Mike, for getting up this morning and getting a desire to call in and share with us the things that's happening in your life. And, you know, we're praying for your ministry, Brother Mike and Evangelist. We're praying, and my husband and I are about to embark on a assisted living ministry where we're going to be ministering to a home that's very close to where we live. We're going to start ministering to them on Sundays.
All right.
Keep us in your prayers.
We are looking
so forward to you coming this way. And then maybe last year, not around this time, but toward the end of the year, we were talking about having a service.
Citywide.
I didn't hear you.
I said citywide crusade.
Crusade, yes, that's the word I was looking for. And so Evangelist Bernard has still, the Lord has impressed on her that she still wants to do that. So we are so looking forward to you coming and spending a couple of weeks with us so that we can all work together and get that going. So we're excited. We're excited about that. And we're going to ask, Evangelist, would you end us in prayer?
Yes, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this radio broadcast. We thank you for They Overcame. We thank you for Elder Burns and Minister Burns. Thank you for Prophet Michael tuning in this morning. Lord God, we're asking you to continue to bless their household, bless their children, Lord God, and even their finances, God. We're asking you to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour them out blessings. Lord God, you said you are a rewarder for those that diligently seek you. Lord, bless them for their diligence. Bless them for their faithfulness, Lord God. Remember our household, Lord God. Remember my sister Danielle as we get ready to go and visit her this morning. God, let her spirit be uplifted. Let her be encouraged to know that you haven't forgotten about her, Lord God. Remember my son in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you to bless Pastor R.C. Blakes and his brother and his mother and all those that travel with him to Oakland. Let them have a safe flight returning back to New Orleans. And Lord God, we ask you to continue, Lord God, to keep us with a humble heart, God. Keep us with a mind, Lord God, to continue to pursue you, Lord God. Help us to acknowledge you in all thy ways, Lord God. And as you promised us in your word, you would direct our path. Now, Lord God, dismiss us off this broadcast, but never from your presence, Lord God. Give us new insight, Lord God. Give us glory, give us grace, humility, and give us joy, Lord God, to continue to preach and teach this gospel everywhere we go, where souls will be impacted for the kingdom of God. We ask all of this in the precious, wonderful, magnificent name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just want to invite all of our listeners via the internet or if you come into the archives to listen to Everyday Evangelist Adrian Bernard is on this same number, 858-683-1334, with New Destiny Ministries, proclaiming the word of God. She has ministers, teachers, evangelists that come on that are not novice to the word of God, that that are teaching us the ways of the Lord. And then do not forget about They Overcame, where we see the fruit of what has been preached to us. We're living the life and loving the life that we're living in God, and we want to share it with everybody. So we just invite you to listen to us every Saturday, They Overcame, at 858-683-1334 at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central Time, and 5 a.m. Pacific Time. And until next week, we just want to praise you. God bless you for joining us.
I just want to praise you.
Forever, come on.
Forever.